You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Welcome into BGN Radio. This is episode 90, brought to you by the fine folk at Bleeding Green Nation and SB Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and I am somewhat filling in for Jimmy Kemsky. I blame Benjamin Solak, though, as he wasn't available for the normal Kist and Solak recap show. So joining me today is the supreme leader of BGN, may he forever reign, Brandon Lee Gowton. Brandon, a win is a win, but this wasn't pretty, nor was it all that impressive, but it's hard to feel too negative about two straight wins and 5-4 headed into the bye, considering how the season has gone. How you doing, brother? How you feeling about this?
Mike, you could also say, I guess, that I am replacing Benjamin Solak, which is obviously a huge upgrade in the eyes of some. I mean, that's not my own words. That's just, you know, words that are out there that people have said by many.
Yes, that's true.
Again, I'm just objective here, just relaying the information. Yeah, Mike, like, look, the Eagles won a game today. That did happen. They're 5-4. And that's pretty important, because going into this game, you and Solak, I believe, talked about how the Eagles-Bears game was kind of the highest, at least in terms of the Eagles, in terms of playoff leverage. Their playoff odds went up by like 23% by ESPN's playoff probability leverage metric tracker analytic thing, whatever you want to call it. So it was an important win for sure. But kind of like going back to last week against the Bills, it kind of just makes me think, okay, they won and that's good, but like, how sustainable is this? Like, can they continue to win like this? Because yeah, they're not going to be playing Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky every week.
And look, this game just lacked energy, and we'll kind of recap how the 22-14 win for the Eagles went down. But like, people in the very beginning, I mean, people were already complaining about the first two field goal drives, and I'm thinking, hey, they get scores out of the first three drives to make it 12-0. That's all good. Like, it's not like a blowout score yet, but they're firmly in control of this game. And then they score right out of the half. They make it 19-0, and it just feels like ho-hum, not much to worry about, but also not much happening type of game, kind of like the Jets game from earlier in the season. And I mean, the Bears basically had negative yardage until very late in the first half, seemed very unthreatening. But of course, as is often the case with the Eagles defense, they bust twice on two different drives, and suddenly it's a 19-14 game and they have to wake up. And after that, you have drives from the Eagles of six plays, three plays, three plays, five plays. They look a little stale before finally executing a backbreaker of a drive of 16 plays, 69 nice yards, 8 minutes and 14 seconds come off the clock. The Eagles had over 40 minutes of possession in this game, which would end up being big for them. So that comes off the clock. They kick the field goal to make it an 8-point game. Adam Shaheen muffs the ensuing kickoff. Duke Riley, welcome, buddy. He recovers it and it's ball game. But the Eagles were never not in control in this game. They didn't need some crazy red zone stand or big time stop on a key third or fourth down. But it had the feeling of, why are they letting a bad Bears team? And it's my belief that it's a bad Bears team. And look, credit to their defense. They're a very good unit, and we knew things wouldn't be easy against them. But the Eagles just seemed incapable of putting this game away when it felt like they could have earlier, until it got, you know, too close for comfort. And it felt like a 2018 win against a subpar team. So while a win is a win and that's all milk and cookies, I don't know if it changes the level of concern that I have about this team as they prepare to play the Patriots and the Seahawks after the bye. Is that kind of where you're at too, BLG?
I think this offense, specifically this passing offense, I should say, the running offense is great. It's good. Yeah. It's Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard had another good game, and that's great to see. You know, the conversation after last week's game was about how the Eagles want to be this established the run team, which really I just don't think is the long-term viable answer for them. They can do it to win some games here, and that's nice to beat up on some bad opponents. Sure, that's fine. But like when they're playing the Patriots, I don't think they're going to be able to just establish the run and get by with what little they have. Like that, I honestly think that's probably the biggest takeaway from this game for me is just how, and it's really been building, so it's not just this game, but just like how depressing this passing offense is, because it's really depressing. There was hope coming into this game, you know, that Deshaun was going to come back and fix some of that. Although, you know, I was trying to like temper some of that myself for my own expectations because, you know, he's coming off this injury. He was limited in practice all week. Like, we don't know how close to 100% he was. Sure enough, he plays a drive today and he's out the whole game after that. I asked Doug Peterson about that after the game, like what the plan was for Deshaun, and he said the plan was to have Deshaun play the whole game.
Yeah.
Took him out for precautionary reasons, but like, okay, is that true? Or was there a setback? How reliable is Deshaun going to be? Because if Deshaun's not in there, Mike, let me tell you, these Eagles receivers, they're not good. There's problems here. Alshon Jeffrey, 4 for 36 today. He had 3 drive-ending drops. The last one was just especially infuriating. Nelson Aguilar actually made a couple of tough catches today, I thought, but they were short ones. Anytime he's targeted down the field, it's just like a waste of a play because either, and let me be clear, I don't think this is Carson Wentz's best game. I think he missed a lot of throws, but then on the plays where he's not missing them, then his receivers just can't even make them. Like Aguilar either can't track the ball or he just doesn't like get in a good position to make a contested catch. It's just not like in his repertoire really. And he only had 3 for 21 anyway. Sean Jackson, again, we don't know how much we can even count on him moving forward. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside played more today. He was on the field out there, but I don't even think he saw a target. Matt Collins, again, another game without a catch and not even a target. And I saw a stat floating out there that Matt Collins has more penalty yards than he has receiving yards this year.
126 penalty yards against 125 receiving yards. And Deshaun Jackson continues to build on his lead, even though he only had 1 catch and 5 yards up against Matt Collins. It's crazy, dude.
How can they win like this, Mike? Like, where's the hope? And this is why I was frustrated coming out of the trade deadline. It wasn't that, like, I was expecting Howie Roseman to pay some kind of ridiculous price to, say, get Robbie Anderson. But it's just, like, the bottom line to me was you have these receivers, and this is who you're working with the rest of the season, and it's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. And then they pass up on Josh Gordon. And is Josh Gordon, like, the cure-all definitive answer? No, he's not. But like just the fact that they're riding with these guys, like I know these guys aren't the answer. I've seen enough to know that like these guys, I just do not have hope in them.
And look, I was a proponent of trading for Robbie Anderson, but when the price came in that it was a second rounder, that was too rich for me for a guy that you were going to have to extend. So that sucks. You know, obviously you need, you know, 2 to tango and dance and all that stuff. And you need a partner willing to trade you something. So I was definitely wanting something to upgrade. I wasn't big on bringing a guy like Gordon in just because of all the other issues that surround him. Obviously, I've seen the name a couple of times now, Antonio Brown, which is like you might as well bring the circus elephants to town too if that's what you're doing.
That's not happening.
Yeah, and it's just it does seem like something that's not sustainable. You need Zach Ertz to have 9 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown for this offense to continue to move the ball. But that's small ball. You're not getting any shots out of that, and you need a 16-play drive. It seems like in all of these wins, they have these, you know, fourth quarter backbreaker drives where they have to convert third down after third down after third down. And I agree with you, it was not Wentz's best game, but when it came down to it, he was able to convert in those situations, make good decisions with the ball, make plays on his own to be able to make that happen. But it shouldn't have to come down to that every time, and they shouldn't have to grind out every single drive. And it's great that the running game is going, because that's a big plus for them, keeping them out of, you know, bad situations as an offense. Jordan Howard, 19 carries for 82 yards and a touchdown, looked great, you know, doing his normal thing. Miles Sanders, I felt, looked better as an inside runner on some downhill concepts, 10 carries for 42 yards. So that's a plus as well. But again, at the same time, you're not getting, you know, last week Sanders had the big explosive run, but that hasn't been the norm for this offense. Howard had a long of 17. Sanders had a long of 11. And while they were able to gash this defense up the middle and control the clock, it was something we talked about on the Kiss and Solak show. You hit these, you know, you hit this Bears defense on inside runs and you can beat them that way. And the Eagles did a good job of that. You just wonder if that's the formula, because you're not always going to be playing against Mitch Trubisky. You're not always going to be playing against Josh Allen and, you know, 40 mile an hour gust consistently blowing through the stadium and swirling and whatnot, because we saw what this defense, like a glimpse of what they have been. And that's a defense that busts absolutely too much. The 2 biggest throws for Trubisky on the year We're coverage bust. Malcolm Jenkins wants to play robber when he's got deep zone and leaves, you know, Jalen Mills hanging out to dry on the big Taylor Gabriel catch. And then you've got the bust route by David Montgomery. There was no one in the same area code as him. So there's still concerning things. You get some of the worst quarterback play that you've seen this year, and it's still almost a game. And that's what really worries me. And again, not to take anything away from the Bears defense, but they're going to have to be able to put up more points. And I don't know what that looks like for this offense. So still very concerned coming into the bye. But hey, I mean, on the plus side, you're still 5-4. And I'm wondering what you think about this defense, though, because this defense, are they a tomato can crusher with severe flaws, or are they a unit capable of getting right in the second half of the season? Because I'm leaning towards the tomato can. It's hard to get inspired when it's the abysmal Mitch Trubisky on the other side of it, who for most of the game looked just as bad as Luke Falk. And his two big throws, again, were gifted to him via bust in the secondary. What do you think about this defense moving forward? Do you have any confidence in them to limit teams under 24 points? Because the only teams they have limited to under 24 points have been bottom third offenses in the league.
I think there's some hope for the defense. I do believe the pass rush is starting to come on a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox early in this game, like, oh my gosh. Like, he was wrecking the game early on. And it didn't really show up so much in the box. The box score here, he had two tackles, two solo tackles, and that's it. But he impacted a lot of plays. I felt like Brandon Graham had another sack. Jannard Avery, trade acquisition,
yeah,
hot buddy. Ticket, half a sack. Basically, the whole Eagles defense had a sack on that play, but still. So I feel like there's some hope for them. I feel like they can be good enough. I honestly do. Not like actually good, not like a lockdown unit by any means, but I feel like if this offense could get it together, which, again, I don't really have hopes for that, but if somehow they could, like if somehow Deshaun did get healthy and he comes back after the bye and he looks great, and they're able to score, like, I think this offense should be able to score. I think this defense can do enough to kind of force some turnovers, make the game winnable overall. The defense honestly isn't one of my biggest concerns, and especially coming out of this game. I know it's Trubisky, but, I mean, they almost kept him to -9 yards in the first half before Trubisky had a scramble, and then Sendejo, who should not be on this team, by the way, by next Saturday, because he's costing this team.
What a dummy.
Compensatory fourth round pick in the 2020 draft. You know, they were shutting them down before that. And again, Trubisky being terrible certainly is a big reason that factors into that. But yeah, I wasn't really disappointed overall with the defense. Obviously, they did have some lapses. I want to give Avante Maddox a shout out for making a big play. Yeah. Kind of, I think, an underrated play late in the game there when, you know, the Bears get the ball back. They're only down 5 points and they have a chance to, you know, go and, you know, take the lead. Avante Maddox comes up with a big pass breakup on 3rd and 9 and forces the Bears to punt, and then they never touch the ball again, except on the fumble on that last kickoff. So, yeah, like, I think they've stepped up. I'm fine with the defense. I honestly am. I'm not like I'm so focused on the passing offense being abysmal because I think that's really what wins in the NFL and being explosive and being fast. And the thing, one of the biggest things that frustrates me, and I've said it a billion times by now, like, this team just isn't fun. Like, are you having fun, Mike? Is anyone having fun out there? Because if you are, great. But, like, I feel like you're lying because there's no way you're having fun. This team is not fun. There's no, like, because it just takes so much work to actually score, and, like, there's no explosive element. It's just like a chore. It's a burden. It's not fun. And maybe I'm just like, maybe I'm not able to enjoy the wins enough or something, but really that's my big takeaway. It's like, this isn't fun, and it's supposed to be fun. Football is supposed to be fun. And it feels like the Eagles have not been fun for a while now. And I just want them to be fun.
Remember when they just beat the brakes off of the Bears 2 years ago, back in 2017? Like, that was a fun game.
That was fun.
It's the same level of quarterback play that you saw today. It's just, and they were a good defense then too. They were sneaky good against some teams that year. I feel like that team might be as good as this Bears team. So I don't see any reason why the Eagles couldn't do more. And you're right. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game with my son, as I do every Sunday, and it's 12-0, and we're just sitting there going, This is a boring game. There's nothing wrong. Yeah. And it's fine that you're in control, but you also let them crawl back into the game. That's where the real problem is. And like you said, with the passing offense just not being real explosive right now, you know, how you can kind of work around that is getting time for Wentz. I do feel that the line got beat up a little bit at times. I mean, they gave up four sacks. I feel like a lot of those, especially I remember the third one in the red zone. I think it was one of the within the first two drives. It's definitely a coverage sack in the red zone, which is, you know, another that's indicative of the wide receiver problem that we have. And of course, you want to see the film on some other ones just to see if there was anything there that maybe Wentz missed, but it didn't look like it to me. But I will give a shout out here because Khalil Mack on Andre Dillard, and I know the Eagles did some things and I want to look at the film and whatnot, but for the second time in a row playing Khalil Mack, who is an elite level talent, Mack has not been a game wrecker against the Eagles. They took good care of the football. And in the running game, the line was bumping as well. So the offensive line is looking fantastic. And for as much crap as people are giving Howie Roseman right now, and look, I'll be right there with you talking about how they should not have restructured Alshon Jeffrey to make it harder to get out of his contract. I'm right there with you. But as far as like the draft and what fruit that has borne, you can be upset about Jajon not seeing the field for whatever reason, whether it be positional coaching and whatnot. Andre Diller, to me, looks like a hit. And that's a good thing for the Eagles. So that's a positive thing, being able to protect Wentz, even though, again, he took four sacks. A lot of those were coverage sacks, I felt. BLG, any other thoughts or maybe game balls or anything like that, in any special recognition you want to throw out before we go to break here?
Well, on the Howie note, I guess you can throw Sanders in there too. You know, just, again, looking 10 for 42. He broke some tackles as a runner, which is nice to see. I know you've been wanting to see that, Mike.
Yep.
He also had 3 for 31 as a receiver, and he had a big 19-yard reception in there. And it almost feels like at this point, like there's a guaranteed one play per game at minimum of Miles Sanders making like a big play in the passing game. And really, he's honestly been, you know, we've talked about this. He's been like one of their biggest reliable weapons in the passing game as a running back, which is not ideal. It's not great.
Yeah, exactly. And they had two big third down conversions, third and longs. The two of them were screens to Goddard and Sanders, which is like they're having to manufacture these ways to get these conversions because they're having trouble passing downfield. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, BLG.
No, on that note, too, I wanted to give Doug credit. So I think this is a good Doug game. It's just like maybe not the whole thing, just off the top of my head here. Like, I thought he made some pretty critical calls, like that last drive, especially to ice the game. There was that throw to Ertz for the first down, there was the screen to Goddard. Like, it just felt like Doug Peterson, like, really schemed some things up nicely in this game to help give his team an edge. Unlike the coward Matt Nagy, who punted the ball on what? The 43, I think it was the Eagles 43.
It was 4th and 6 on the Eagles 44, and they were down 19-7. You coward.
Pretty bad.
So, yeah, Doug, not a coward. Matt Nagy, definitely a coward. I understand he's working with Trubisky, but come on. Like, brother, you got to go for it at some point. You got to let him hang. All right, so when we come back here on BGN Radio, episode number 90, we're going to get to three words from the gentle listeners, and we'll kind of use that as the framework to talk about some other issues going on with the Eagles as we head into the bye at 5-4. That's coming up next here on BGN Radio.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And we are back here on BGN Radio, episode 90, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation. Michael Kist here with Brandon Lee Gouton. Brandon, we asked for three words, and we do it every week. We asked for three words from our gentle listeners to describe how they felt about this 22-14 win for the Eagles that sets them up 5-4 going into the bye. Interesting one by Tyler Andrews at TC Andrews underscore deep threat required. Also, Kyle Sorrell, longtime listener at Wolves Run underscore alone, says still need receivers. And then along the same vein of all of those, Alex Arizzo, loyal listener at Jay Arizzo, says Miles Sanders, wide receiver one. Like, brother, like, it's really looking that bad on the wide receiver front. I know we've talked about it, but, I mean, you put some stats on Twitter today talking about the last five games, the production or lack of production that we've gotten from these receivers. Alshon Jeffrey looks washed, and I have been a big fan, and you know this, BLG. I mean, I got on my soapbox last year and everything, put a full, you know, transparent scouting report, how I graded him, everything like that. I've done that for him the last 2 years. I did it for him for the Scouting Academy when I was there as well. So I've done three updated scouting reports on Alshon Jeffrey. I'm very familiar with his game. He looks washed to me, man. Like, or he's still really dealing with an injury. But then he also got banged up after he got that third down conversion after making good after the drop from the previous drive. So if he's just going to be banged up all year, that's another reason towards not wanting to restructure his contract to make it harder to get out of, because this guy, and as tough as he was, and as much credit as I'll give him for the 2017 season playing through the torn rotator cuff, I cannot thank him enough for that contribution to the team, but that was another injury season for him. That was another knock on him. This guy has a long injury list, and if he can't be, you know, 80%, or if this is what his 80% looks like, man, that's bad. It's just bad news for this group overall. And I know we keep pounding the table on it, but it's like the most concerning thing about this offense right now.
It's a huge issue. Like, it's a passing league. Like, having wide receivers who can make the offense function.
Yeah.
It's a functional passing offense more than like what the Eagles have to do, which is like manufacture yards and like these screens. And like, they just have to do so much work to get yards, as opposed to like, here's a guy who can just beat the cornerback in front of him and get open and make a play. Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen on the Eagles. That does not happen. And the Alshon thing is just like, oh my gosh, that is the most perplexing move of Howie Roseman's offseason.
The whole reason that the J-Jaw pick made sense within the construct of the offense and moving forward, the future vision, and I argued about this saying, don't worry about JJ's fit because this is how it makes sense long term. They completely wiped that out by doing the restructure. I don't get it.
And what leverage did Alshon have? What's he going to do? Like, sit out before like week one after showing up for the whole offseason? Like, okay.
Come on.
Weird flex, but okay. It's a huge issue because Alshon right now is not performing anything like a number one wide receiver. He's just been bad, man. Honestly, he's been bad. And it's a huge issue for this team. The injury, he had that calf injury earlier in the year, and I'm sure maybe that's still kind of hampering him. And again, he suffered some kind of ankle injury today against the Bears. But yeah, man, like, it's an issue. And it's not just him. But, like, he's supposed to be the guy, you know, from this group. And for as bad as this whole group has performed, you know, Alshon has been at the top of it for sure. I'm looking at this, Mike. Like, I feel like ideally none of these receivers on the team except, let's say, if Deshaun can actually get healthy and he is the same player and can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, because you picked him in the second round pick. Like, none of these other guys ideally should be on the team next year. Because Nelson Agholor won't be, by the way, free agent. Alshon should have been cut after this year. That was looking like very likely and very like common sense thing to do. You know, Mac Hollins is giving you like worse than nothing because he is hurting the team. Yeah. Again, he's more penalty yards than receiving yards. It's just bad. It's so frustrating too, because we all saw 2016. We saw when Carson Wentz like didn't have any receivers to work with.
Yeah.
And the Eagles remedied that in 2017, and they did give him some nice targets. They had Nelson Agholor in the slot. You brought in Alshon Jeffrey, who was a couple years younger, obviously, 2 years ago. Torrey Smith was not an elite deep threat by any means, but he could draw pass interference from time to time and did some things at least. And he was big in the playoffs, by the way. And now it's like they've gone back. And it feels like it's almost worse than 2016 in some ways. Like, it is just very depressing. That's the thing I can't get over. Like, I don't know how you – like, no team is perfect. I get that. There's no perfect NFL roster out there. Even the Patriots have issues, as hard as that might be to believe. But I just don't know, like, some issues I feel like you can get by. You know what I mean? Like, if you have subpar linebackers, like the Eagles do, for example, like, I think that's something you can kind of work around. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be stacked every position. I don't know how you work around not having a good passing attack in the year 2019. Like, that seems kind of like a big issue, deal breaker kind of issue.
Well, I mean, look at how the Patriots are probably going to scheme up the Eagles, and the Patriots have a top shelf defense right now. They're going to take away what you're good at. If the Eagles are only good at one thing, that's a problem, and that's going to show up big time in a big time game, right? So that's really what I'm concerned about. I mean, Ryan Jones also chimed in at RyanJones0805, says, what happened to Alshon? Brother, I don't know. And I don't know what happened to Nelson Agholor either. He's on a prove it year, on a contract year. And this is the type of effort that we're getting from this guy. The guy was targeted two times down the field. On the first one, he was more concerned with trying to get an OPI. On the second one, doesn't go up and make a play. I look over on red zone and I see Sammy Watkins making the same play. Cap coverage makes the same stinking play. Like, I don't understand why these wide receivers can't make these plays for Carson Wentz. And not to excuse Carson Wentz. I mean, he had a solid game and then came through at the end. Wasn't his best game. But at the same time, it comes down to the same thing that we've been saying the entire year. When is somebody going to bail out Carson Wentz? When can he have a bad game and not have the game go completely sideways? So, yeah, it is weird, man. And the other one I wanted to talk about, look, Kaz, you get one three words. But because you put this in there, I'm going to go ahead and shout out the other one. At Troy DeCaz says, Kist defeats Trubisky. Look, can I tell you the sigh of relief? And I really was never worried about Trubisky to begin with. But, like, Buffalo fans know me as a Josh Allen hater. Bears fans know me as a Mitch Trubisky hater. The Eagles got by two. So I'm very relieved. As concerned as I am about this team and the concerns that I have about this defense, at least they didn't let me down to the point where you're getting beat up by Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. So I am thankful for that. Josu at Josu Cantu, just continuing on with this Alshon stuff. It's not just us seeing it. The gentle listeners see it too. Torn rotator Alshon, which he makes one word with hyphens. I guess I'm going to count that. Torn rotator Alshon was better. So you cheated, bud, but you got it in. Peter Hoffman at HoFlax24 said, should have drafted DK. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, because DK was a top 15 player for me. Wasn't super, super high on him, but I mean, he's doing more for the Seahawks than what the Eagles are getting right now. And by the way, the Seahawks are tied with the Buccaneers as we record this, 27-27. So that's interesting. Bucks are weirdly competitive with the NFC West. What about Jake Elliott, brother? Because Lehi Thomas is at Maverick 5 for 5 times 5. Jake Elliott, MVP. He missed another extra point. What is going on with him?
I'm sure Ben will find a way to put him in the winner's column on bleedinggreennation.com this week. Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, Mike, that we didn't get to. It kind of got lost, really, in the pregame. Sidney Jones was a healthy scratch for this game. I had to bring it. I had to do it to you.
I know. Yeah. I know.
You got me in training camp when he was looking good, and he was for a while there. But then I said he kind of fell off all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he has fallen off the face of the earth, basically. I mean,
hey, dude, I don't mean to cut you off. DK Metcalf just got a bomb for a touchdown to put the Seahawks ahead.
Must be nice. Must be nice. Must be nice to, like, draft someone who has, like, speed. I can't get over this. Is this the biggest issue with this team? It's like, I don't, and it's so perplexing. I can't, like, this is crazy that I feel like I'm being so negative after a win.
Right.
I just, like, the issue that pops up in every game throughout the season, it's just they're not fast enough. Like, they don't make enough plays. And it's so weird to me that a team that is so analytically inclined, like, does not, like, speed analytics don't like speed. It's like what I'm kind of like getting out of this, because that's what how it kind of seems like how things are going here.
Yeah. With as much player tracking that they use, you would think that they would notice how valuable that is. I don't understand it. I mean, we see it on the next gen dots and everything like that. You could tell one dot's going faster than the other.
Yeah, like not just long-term speed, but like quickness too. Like, at least that's the thing with some of these sacks in this game. Okay, I think Carson was probably holding on to the ball too much, maybe, in some of those. But other times, I'm like, who's really open? Like, who's actually getting open?
You're making it too.
Yes, you're making a contested throw. And how many of those guys can you even rely on to make that contested throw? Because some of them just can't even do that. It's frustrating, man. It is a frustrating team. But getting at the Sidney Jones, you tried to get me off it.
No, I know. I was going to tell you, get back to Sidney Jones, man. Let me have it, because I'll say my piece on it too, because that's really disappointing. But go ahead.
It's just bad, man. Yeah. Like, it is really bad. The fact that he is pretty much the sixth corner on this team right now. He'll be seventh when Cravon LeBlanc eventually comes back here. He's behind Craig James, who was on the practice squad earlier this year, who was an undrafted free agent for the Vikings last year, and only joined the Eagles roster like prior to week one this season. Like, that is really bad.
Yeah.
And I get it, because like it's Craig James plays special teams and Sidney Jones doesn't. But no matter how you slice it, Sidney Jones, a second round pick in 2017, a guy who the Eagles said was a top 10 player on their board, getting behind Craig James is a big failure. And it doesn't mean that Howie's total, like, I'm not using this one thing as to say, like, look, this definitively proves Howie can't draft or whatever. Misses are going to happen. But, like, this one is especially bad. This is, like, a really, really bad miss.
Yeah, and look, he's had so many different points in his career, and I was talking about this with Bullwolf on Twitter this morning, because I said, you know, he's just got to be completely shot from a mental and confidence perspective. There's no other way to explain it. And he's not demonstrably worse than like Craig James. I don't think it's a skill thing with him. I don't think it's a talent thing with him. I think it is majorly, majorly in his head. And that's a shame. Like, I really feel like he needs to get himself right. Maybe needs to change his scenery before he's going to be able to let his game shine. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen before it's going to be too late for him. And I was, again, really high on him. I mean, the guy had a fantastic college career. Teams loved him coming out, you know, pre-draft process, everything's going great for him. Then he tears his Achilles and everything goes south. And then you have the pretty much the redshirt year. He comes in for week 17, has a solid game in his first game in the NFL. And then the next year, first three games, he's lighting it up. Absolutely fantastic. That's where he showed some really positive signs. And then he picks up a hamstring injury, or maybe he got beat a little bit and picked up a hamstring. And then like his confidence starts to go. And he comes out this year, he made some plays in the early portions of the season, gets beat. Next thing you know, he's beat up again. He's injured again. And I think the Eagles staff and Doug has called him out. Malcolm Jenkins has called him out. Like when guys like that are calling you out publicly, like there's something going on in his head that isn't right. And that's why I think that the staff has lost confidence in him, because he's lost confidence in himself. So I'll hold the L on claiming that this is the breakout year for Sidney Jones. I don't know how you could see anything like this coming, man, because it's absolutely wild. You could say he was a busted pick. You can look at the next 10 picks after him. None of those guys are lighting the world on fire either, but that's another conversation for another day.
The last thing I want to say, I guess before we wrap up here, Mike, is that, you know, we're at the bye week. Again, this was an important win. When you look ahead to the future, you look at this schedule. I mean, 11-5 is really on the table. 10-6, very possible as well.
Yeah.
Now it's also entirely possible the Eagles somehow go like 9-7, you know, and blow it. And one of those losses is the Cowboys, and they basically, you know, don't make the playoffs because they're probably not going to be good enough for the wild card. But looking how the NFC is shaping up, they probably have to win the division. So it comes to that. They're still in it. It's not like a lost season by any means, despite the fact that I can't believe I just said that. The Eagles just won a game. It's not a lost season.
Two games in a row. They beat a 5-1 team last week, BLG.
I know. It's just, but it's so true though. Like the mood, this is how I feel. I'm not trying to like be overly negative or anything. This is just my honest takeaway.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, like, the optimist in me says, okay, the bye week is here. Do some self-scouting. Maybe Deshaun does come back healthy. Don't feel great about that. Mm. Maybe there is some kind of hope, though. That can happen. And he comes back, and the Eagles offense starts to pick it up, and that run game isn't like the main focus of the offense all of a sudden, and instead it's like a really nice complementary piece. And by the way, Deshaun being in the game early on, I don't know about you, Mike, but didn't that seem to kind of have an effect on that first drive? It seemed like, you know, there was more space all of a sudden. And so I think that, you know, that's huge. But if he's not, then I think they're just kind of like, I don't know, I don't have a lot of hope if he's not back. But I just want to give a shout out to the BGN tailgate, Mike. Seamus Clancy holding it down out there, the Clancy family, Seamus's dad, who I was like, I met him for the first time today, and I was like, hey, I'm Brandon. He's like, I said, you're Seamus's dad, right? And I was like, what's your name? And he was like, just call me Clancy. And I was like, all right, okay. They have an awesome tailgate setup, so definitely, definitely go check that out. Nice. If you are coming to an Eagles home game this year, I think they're pretty much going to be at most of them for the rest of the year. Seamus posts about it, and he talks about it on his From the Bleachers podcast here on the BGN Podcast Network, so you can hear that, check it out. Had some BGN listeners there.
Nice.
Had some people come out from all over the country. So really awesome to see the people there. Appreciate that. Seamus and I are trying to kind of get some kind of live Eagles watch party thing going.
Awesome.
We'll see how that goes. Definitely stay tuned again to the podcast feed here and bleedinggreennation.com. We kind of want to get a head count, kind of gauge that. So that's all in the works. Nothing official yet. Nothing finalized by any means, but definitely stay tuned for that because you can come watch Seamus and I just complain about how the Eagles are really slow and we'll all have a good time.
That sounds great. And keep an eye out for some shows dropping this week. We are going to have a small break to give you guys some time off, gentle listeners, and us some time off as well. That'll be later on in the week. So what you're going to get is you're going to get your normal Kiss and Solak film review show that'll be dropping on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, I believe that's BGN Radio. You and Jimmy are recording on Tuesday. Is that correct?
Believe so, yes.
Okay. All right, so that's the tentative plan right now. So we have shows coming for you. We're going to take a slight break, and then we'll be back in full force after that. But for now, thank you for listening. Make sure you stop by Apple Podcasts, leave 5 stars, leave a review. If it's funny, we'll read it on the show. Make fun of Ben. That's fun for everybody. But for now, remember, we all we got, we all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
BGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.